This is Sherm Radio in partnership with Timber Media, podcasters for India Inc.
Hello and welcome to episode 7 of Unabashed, candid conversations on all things talent. In this podcast, we have open, honest and unapologetic conversations about the emergent realities of work, worker and the workplace. I'm Neha Pant, part of the knowledge and advisory team at Sherm India, and I have with me the usual suspect, Abhijeet Bhadri, coach, talent management advisor and an author. Hi Abhijeet, what are we discussing today?
What is this new description of usual suspect?
I think people have now gotten used to, hearing
suspecting
the both of us.
Me.
Yeah, expecting you as well, yes.
No, not expecting, I said suspecting.
Suspect. Oh, yes, yes. Perhaps they are
One of the questions that I just thought I'm going to ask you today is, I was reading about, Google, which is looking at three of the courses that they're offering, in data analytics, project management, and user experience design. So if they do that course, first of all, it costs a fraction of what it would cost to do a four-year undergraduate degree, at least in the US, or anywhere else, a three-year degree in India. And they're really saying that if you are able to complete this program and you can apply for a job, if you are able to complete it, they could potentially be employed in Google. Or, they are saying that it could lead to a job at a minimum in US for $50,000-$60,000 a year. So one of the questions that really, is worth looking at, does it mean that the undergraduate degree has lost its value? I mean, what do you think that, does it mean that if you had a choice, would you go back to college and complete, 4 years, 3 years of college and then maybe 2 years of post-graduation? If at the end of your school, at the age of 18, you were to get a job offer, by doing this three-month program, think of the money you would save. Think of that opportunity and you would start earning from the age of 18. Is that a good thing to happen or it isn't?
I wouldn't go back. I think I like the way the world is evolving today and how, we are experiencing this.
Hang on. Let me ask you. So does it mean you would not go back to college or you would go back to college and still do those 3+2, 5 years?
Saying that I wouldn't want to go back to college and do those 3+2 years. Really? I would much rather enroll myself in the courses that I'd like to pursue. So let's say if I go back in time and I just completed my 12th, if I knew what I liked and what my passions are, and let's say I want to figure things out, even if let's say I'm not very clear as to which direction I want to move into, but I certainly have certain interests, right? So I would like to explore let's say a language course, or I would like to explore a course in music, or courses in psychology, or anything that interests me, right? In that sense, I will perhaps also understand where I feel the most excited about learning, where I enjoy that whole process of learning, and what are the subjects that I would want to study more, and the kind of job I'd like to do in future, right? So in that sense, what we are experiencing today, I was reading this news item the other day, which said that India is experiencing a reskilling revolution. Now, what that means is that right now when...
Which means that we actually have very low level of skills and therefore now we have to revolutionize and upgrade.
So imagine if all of that university education that we have gathered in these many years, if it were, not obsolete, if it were, still holding good for us, we wouldn't have this revolution, would we?
That is because, Neha, you are assuming that the sole purpose of education is to be employable, which in any case, as we know, that, is pretty low number.
I think that is one of the purpose too, right? I mean, you have to earn a living to, survive. So
sure,
I think that is one part of education. Of course, there's other aspect as well.
Because unless you have the luxury that you don't necessarily need to look for work, everybody needs to look for work after they're educated, which is a purpose.
I want to be able to pay my own bills, right?
I know, but before that, the whole question is also that that's not the only purpose. Skilling is not the only purpose. It's a very important part of the entire thing. But I also think that it creates a worldview. Education creates
Absolutely.
A worldview.
I agree to that.
But, Neha, I would, so you said you would like to go back and take so many of these courses. I think that's an awesome idea that you should be able to sort of do these courses. But I would put another caveat. And you know what I would like to do if I were to go back to college, that I would like to take those courses, but I would not like to be bound by the set of teachers that the college offers, because you know it's a bit like a CD or a music track. If you remember, I don't know if you were born when
CDs. You forgotten? I'm a millennial with the mind of a Gen X.
I know. I mean, so like really, so you remember the CD? So you buy a CD which has got 12 tracks, and you actually like just one of them. The same thing happens in college. You go to a college. There might be one terrific, awesome professor, and then there's a whole range of professors who are either sort of, you know, you're lukewarm towards or you're indifferent towards.
Yep.
Then in which case, I actually would like the flexibility and freedom that if those top-notch professors were to offer their courses, even if it's at a premium, think about it. People today still, they would be happy to go back and take a class with that person who teaches you the skill and gives you a view of the profession. I mean, so, you know, a top-notch photographer. I would love to learn photography.
No, absolutely. I would love to learn psychology from Adam Grant. I would love to learn about vulnerability from Brené Brown.
Mr. Adam Grant, in case you are listening to this, the person who just said this, her name is Neha. So if you're looking for another student, this is the person to consider.
I'm sure he's not looking for students.
The month
there are
service
students.
Announcement.
I'm sure there are students thronging, his... virtual classes or in-person classes.
To be able to, have access.
I know. See, that's the problem, right? If I want to learn from Adam Grant, why should I go to Wharton and do it? You know, and I think the way things are moving, he's going to teach classes in this digital space. Anyone and everyone can take it, right?
So if he did offer a class directly, imagine, and you had to pay, a pretty steep price, whatever that might be, depending on what he considers the right price. Would you spend money and go to that specific person and do the class? I mean, would you do that?
If I can afford it, yes, I will.
Okay,
and it's interesting. It's interesting, Abhijit, that this is happening right now. And I was,
I was talking about this.
You know, there was this discussion around skilling that we were having, and I remember, one of the CEOs of the edtech firms did share with us that, the way the skills are evolving, people are ready to pay from their own pocket, to really take these courses. So it's not; these are people who perhaps have gotten laid off. You know, their organization is not, investing in them, but they are investing in themselves, right? Well, so if that be the case, why not? And, in future, perhaps we pay for skills. So we take those courses which interest us and which somewhere also commensurate with the natural talents that we have. And if we were to take that route, then of course, we will build on our strengths and we'll be able to excel and develop that deep expertise in one particular area that is of interest. And, whatever job we take up, then we will excel in that.
Which fundamentally means that, now that, colleges are, colleges, schools and everyone else is offering the classes online, it sort of begs this whole question that, would you pay the same, fee for an online class as you would for an in-campus experience? Do you think there should be a difference in pricing? And the reason why I'm asking is, whether you buy a shirt online or whether you buy a shirt in the store, there isn't much of a difference in the price. So in case of education, why do we get so hung up and say that if it's not in the campus, I'm not going to, they may still need to, but people are not happy paying that same price if they have to go to take the classes online, because then it's like a free one of those classes on YouTube or Zoom that you could take, millions of webinars which are going on. So classroom doesn't look very different, because what people are missing is the social aspect of learning. So do you think that's really worth that kind of fee? Is that what it is? And yet employability is a challenge. So,
you know, I would say yes and no. It's a difficult question. I don't work in
Are you an economist? Because you know, they say that you would never find a one-handed economist. They'll always say, on one hand you have this, on the other hand you have this.
You know, I personally feel there is value. You know, when you are together in a physical space, there is a lot more that you are gathering as a learner. Mm-hmm. As against a digital medium. So there may be this divide, yes. But I don't know, you know, the world is evolving. Maybe, you know, the lines are going to get blurred. But I still feel that, you know, in person can have a tad bit premium, not a very steep one. Because rightly said, you know, that kind of social learning that happens when you have people around you, that's different from what you experience on a digital medium.
So you're actually, you know, your learning is also shaped by the quality of the people in your class, your peer group, which is there.
No, absolutely.
And
yeah.
I totally agree with that. But I also would argue and say that if in today's world of work, you know, even pre-pandemic, you know, in a multinational setup or when people today are more, quite a few of the people are having to work across geographical boundaries and time zones and everything. So if that is how they are expected to work, why not learn in the same way so that people are just used to this whole idea of, you know, learning across different time zones, working with people across, you know, different geographies. Maybe a far smarter way to build in collaboration skills and help people build soft skills, which, you know, the employers can certainly get value out of. So I think there is an opportunity for companies to really think about it. Also, I think this whole notion that we have, at least in the, you know, post-graduation classes or at least in B schools, without a PhD degree, you cannot come and teach in a B school. It's just so sad. I just feel that I can never, ever in my life go and teach in a B school. It's such a tragedy. I would love to do that. But then the colleges will say that since you don't have a PhD, you know, you're not capable of teaching. So people should be able to learn regardless of the person's academic qualifications. Maybe I don't have a PhD, but that is in no way correlated with my ability to teach, because neither does your classmate who, you know, when we go to a college.
No, absolutely. You know, when you say that,
it could be awesome. And yeah, what the teacher was unable to explain to you, your classmate may be able to explain, and who doesn't have a PhD. So then, yeah, why do we insist that, you know, a practitioner should also have a PhD? I think it's just a way to keep out the practitioners and keep the educational mafia going and, you know, keep them happy. That's my hypothesis.
You know, I sense the personal pain there, but honestly, if you ask me, I don't think as a learner it matters to me whether a teacher is a PhD or not.
You're part of the same mafia group.
No, I'm saying I don't care about
it. I don't care about it.
I'm talking from a learner's perspective. Let's say if you were talking from you know, teacher's perspective, let me share my perspective as someone who's in the classroom, you know, learning from a teacher. I don't think, and maybe this will hold true for a lot of other people as well, it doesn't matter what degree, you know, what qualification you have, as long as, you know, the experience that a student gets with you enhances his or her learning, you know, and you know, it is joyful learning, so to say. I've had professors who, you know, were experts in their domain, had all of these, you know, degrees, post-graduation, PhD, or whatever you may, you know, want to call it. But if you're not able to disseminate that knowledge, you know, it's of no use, right? It's aspect of communication that's very important as well. If you're not able to impart that education to the learner, or, you know, can't do that knowledge transfer, then I remember how boring those classes used to be. So, and we all respected, you know, that professor a lot because, you know, he knew so much. But then there's something that's just not connecting with the learners, right?
So Here is my solution. That, you know, colleges actually tie up with a set of professors, you know, some who have the PhD and therefore can, you know, create the syllabus and the academic rigor and the research and all of that. And then you also have a set of practitioners, and maybe the college would say there's the same class, you know, so let's imagine I'm learning whatever, psychology 101, and in which case I'm going to take two classes, you know, from academics who are, you know, the regular PhD professors, and I'm going to take, you know, two equal number of classes from two people who are practitioners and sort of see
absolutely.
How...
Absolutely, and it's so spot on, because just the other day, you know, CEO of you know, leading edtech company said the same thing. And this was a conversation that we were having with a bunch of industry practitioners. And that's what he ended up mentioning, that in the last 6 months, you know, this is what has, you know, come up as a trend, that you know, now it's easier for us to get academics, academicians, and, you know, the industry practitioners together, because the digital medium also allows for that to happen more seamlessly. Absolutely. Right? So, and if, yeah, if we could get that partnership right, then, you know, we may also be able to solve the, you know, skilling crisis in our country and, you know, the whole employability aspect of it as well.
So the colleges should now take a two-year moratorium, stop teaching the classes, reinvent education. At least the B schools certainly, I think, you know, need to do that, because the classes have no diversity. You know, they are all, you know, fairly unidimensional. And all of that, I think, can be addressed if we rethought this entire thing, except for the fact that we have to figure out a way that the teachers don't get impacted by this, because if students don't go to colleges for 2 years, it would impact the number of teachers that the college can employ.
No, we would use the teachers for all of these courses that we are talking about, right? So, and there should be a rating system.
Ah, yes, yes, yes. Fantastic idea. So, you know, I also think that that's a great way that you're the top.
Yeah, teacher. If you're the highest rated teacher, just like, you know, I go to a restaurant that's, you know, highly rated because it has such rave reviews. Teachers will have that reviews too, right? Today, okay. Doctors have those reviews.
The person who's comparing the teaching person with the restaurant is actually Neha Pant, who's just said...
Okay, no, that's not what I meant to say. Don't take my comment out of context. You know what I mean.
Yeah,
right? So
I
if somebody
know,
likes... Okay, no, you have to hear me out. So if somebody likes to learn from Abhijit Bhadari, they should be able to endorse it, right? They should be able to rate you on their experience with you. You know, someone will have a good experience, someone may not. But for the rest of the folks who are in this process of making this decision, you know, whether to take a class from Abhijit or not, they'll have some sort of a window to see, okay, what are other people saying? What has been their experience?
I think the peer group rating actually makes a lot of difference. And, you know, people who are very good at their craft need to be endorsed by the customer, whatever that is, you know. And so, but many educationists don't quite agree that the student is the customer. So I think that we should keep for yet another time when we should debate that.
Yes.
Because
I think that'll be a long conversation.
I know. And that's going to be a very, very long conversation. But as always, Neha, it's wonderful to talk to you.
All right. On that note, let me bring this episode to a close. If you have a question or a query for us, do reach us at shermindia@shrm.org. You can follow us on Twitter, LinkedIn, Facebook, and Instagram. And Abhijit is also available on all of these social platforms. Abhijit, if you'd like to share your email address with our listeners.
Sure. You can send me an email at Abhijit Bhaduri, Abhijit Bhaduri, @live.com. You can also follow me on Twitter, LinkedIn, and Instagram at Abhijit Bhaduri, Abhijit Bhaduri. So look forward to hearing from you. And thank you very much, Neha.
We will catch you for another candid conversation very soon. Until then, stay unabashed. Thank you so much for listening. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
This is Sherm Radio in partnership with Timber Media, podcasters for India, Inc.